It's time to get brutally honest.
I think the Giants might want to take a vacay to the chalet.
They are mailing in the season. Oh my God. They're done.
Our buddy Don LaGreca.
The Joe Bisarczyk theorem. You're dead.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This song, it's an old school rocker tune. Have you ever heard this song?
Yeah, of course.
I Will Put You Down? Is that what it is?
You've never heard this before? We played it before.
Miles, who sings this?
The Glorious Sons. The song's called Heavy.
Yeah, every time we play this, we get tweets from like fans of theirs that are like, thank you for playing it. And now Mullen, who receives the tweets, make sure to play this song, I'd say, two or three times a week.
Yeah.
But it's a really good song. Are they a Canadian band?
Kingston.
Kingston. Support there the Canadian content.
Support the locals.
Shout out.
This is a good band.
Very good, good band. Song. Very good track. Good way to kick off the final hour here on Overdrive. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's Hall of Fame night down at the Hall of Fame. We'd usually be down there, but I had to call an audible on that. It's on TSN 2 tonight. This is Duthie's night to shine. This is where Duthie takes over the hockey world. All of the A material comes out. He will be on his game. He always does a great job. And we actually didn't ask Ray about it this year because we got him going on this in the past, but he's always made the point. He's been making it for years. There should not be any NHL games on tonight.
Zero.
And there's two.
Yeah.
Now, there's only two. It's not like there's 12 games going on, but this should be a game, a night specifically for the Hall of Famers, specifically for the past.
Mm-hmm.
Give people an opportunity to really invest in the great careers of all the players that are going in tonight.
Well, what's the schedule tonight? I'm sure the two games, there's a couple people coaching GMs that can't make it to the Hall of Fame.
Dallas, Carolina, St. Louis, Calgary. So... yeah, I'm sure. Well, Brian Burke's here. His team's playing in Calgary. But, I mean, yeah, there's guys kicking around. You always want, you're right, if it's going to have Hall of Fame night, you should probably have the NHL dark that night and just make it Hall of Fame day. So, that's a miss, but...
it's not the end of the world.
No.
I mean, let's be honest. But I just think it would be one more gesture towards the greatest players that have ever played for your league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what tonight represents. You're talking about the great, great players ever that will be immortalized now into the Hall of Fame. Give them an opportunity to own the stage. The Leafs are obviously not playing tonight. They don't play again until Thursday. Auston Matthews, we don't know any of the details because the Leafs won't hand over any of the details.
Right.
Like, I'm not bracing myself for an injury update, but I wouldn't mind knowing... was he on the bike over the weekend? Did he skate over the weekend?
You're not getting anything.
But why would that be so harmful? Yes, he skated over the weekend. Because he's actually, you know, he's doing squats. He's on the bike. He's running.
Because you think he could skate in this town without somebody knowing about it? You would have heard about it.
No, he could get on there on Saturday. When the team was in Boston, who would have been kicking around the rink?
Somebody would have saw something and sent out a picture, a tweet. But it's the perfect scenario with this break. Because he's going to have 10, 12 days off.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets it right and is able to play on Thursday night.
That's all you want is this is an investment in not just in the now. It's an investment for the rest of the season so that if he has a nagging injury, let it go away. Let him be 110% and be chomping at the bit to get back and then let him play. Because if it's something that it's 95 and he wants to fight through, you know what happens. We know how that story ends because it's you're re-aggravated or you haven't rehabbed it properly. I'm not suggesting they won't do that. They've got great doctors. Oh, you know a lot of them. I know them as well.
It's not crunch time. It's November.
Exactly.
You know, they're well into a playoff spot. They're pretty comfortable with where they're at. They've won three in a row without him.
Yeah.
So I would assume if they were going into Game 7 of a playoff series tonight, I'm pretty sure he's playing.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't need him to be playing right now. Would you prefer? Of course you would. I'm looking forward to having him back in the lineup, but let's be honest. We said this when he went down. This was an opportunity for the Maple Leafs to send a message to their fan base and to the rest of the league that you actually can believe that we're the real deal.
Yep.
Because if one player sinks you, you're not the real deal.
Yep.
You're not. And they didn't just wilt away. They won three games in a row, two impressively against a divisional rival. I mean, both games over the weekend were not necessarily the most entertaining games we've ever seen.
No.
And maybe they got a little bit lucky on Friday because they got a late goal, and then obviously they capitalized in overtime, but you got to be lucky to be good.
You got to have depth, man.
You got to have depth.
What about Colorado, like a bunch of years ago? Remember when, I think Forsberg went down in the playoffs?
They won a cup without him.
Yeah, they won. As soon as that happened, I was like, goodbye, Colorado. You're not winning now.
Was that when he had the appendectomy?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of
something
nowhere?
Something wrong.
Yeah.
It was either that or it was foot or something, but yeah. I was thinking, okay, Colorado, I'm just wiping them off the docket. They can't win. And they won the cup without him in the lineup.
They were deep, though.
That's why you have to be loaded.
Exactly.
They had
Those
Wall,
were back
they
in the
had...
days where there was no salary cap. And
right.
Detroit, remember, Toronto, Detroit, Colorado, seemed like every summer they were signing three new guys.
Yeah, the Rangers were in there, Philly.
We were sitting in Carolina no.
Here we go again, eh?
Not even a part of the league.
Re-signed Merrick Malik for another year.
Well, depth. He did have...
A depth defenseman.
Merrick Malik did have the shootout move, the game winner.
Round 15, I believe it was.
Wasn't it 17?
But it might have been,
You know who actually scored on the shot before him to send it to extra shots? Our buddy Jason Strudwick.
Struddy was ahead of Malik.
Yes.
Malik had the best nickname. It's just so out of the blue. Merrick Malik, his name was Harry.
Harry?
I don't know. Harry.
Just Harry Dunn?
I don't know. It was just Harry. That was his name, Harry. Merrick Malik's nickname was Harry.
I like it.
He did look a little bit like Harry Dunn. Maybe it was Harry Dunn.
Maybe it could have been Harry from Home Alone.
That's true.
Harry and Marv. Now that we're post-Halloween, it's just a matter of time before the Christmas movies start up.
I know.
I've seen Christmas trees up. It's offside. It's offside.
I totally agree with you.
I saw a Christmas movie today. It wasn't...
You can't possibly be in the mood right now.
It was Mom's Christmas or something. I don't know what the hell it was called.
Well, there was a radio station somewhere in the country, I think, that has already gone to all Christmas music.
Really?
They made a decision
to go. That's a mail-in.
It was Bad Mom's Christmas.
Biggest mail-in ever.
The biggest mail-in. Those do massive ratings. There are multiple stations in this city that go to all Christmas, I think December 1st. I think basically the whole month.
Right.
So every mall, every store, every office, every mom in the city is just right into the Christmas music. So it's totally worth it because the ratings go through the roof because people are looking for that kind of stuff. But give us till December 1st.
That's all you want?
Can we all make a pact?
Fair enough.
Give me until December 1st.
When does the tree go up at your house?
I would do it in December. My daughter's birthday is November 23rd, so we're not going to do it before her birthday, too. We don't want to overshadow the birthday and start thinking beyond that and start doing the Christmas stuff.
See, my daughter's birthday is December 7th, and I've been trying to tie the two together, Christmas and the birthday. It's kind of one big present.
I don't think you can do that.
Well, it didn't fly over at the house.
You can't do the tie.
I feel bad. I live by myself. I don't even do anything.
You can do a little Charlie Brown tree.
You got to get one of the mini trees. You can't be that guy. You need something.
What's a mini tree?
The small little tree.
Like a Charlie Brown tree.
2 feet long?
Yeah, 2 feet tall.
Get one of those.
And then you can have
Does it come assembled?
I'm sure you could do that.
Yeah, go to Canadian Tire. It's like a
tweet
tree
us
in a
some
box.
Ideas because I'm not.
You got to have something in the house.
Have that, but you can have it unique. If you want. I don't think you smoke anymore, but you could have cigarettes in it as a decoration.
That would be great.
You could have...
I don't think that's great. Why?
Chocolate.
I love the way you guys... This is what you do to me every time. It's you got to get a Christmas tree, and you got to get one with cigarettes in it.
I said I don't think you smoke anymore. That's why... So, why don't we have something else?
Okay, let's send us in ideas of what should be on the O-Dogs mini
other
tree.
Than a cigarette-themed Christmas tree.
Give us something
else. I apologize.
I like that idea.
I thought it was kind of neat.
I'd say smoked, little butts. Just wrap a hook into a butt and just, that'll be colorful.
It would be.
You get the Demorier filters and...
You could have all sorts of colors.
Just the 25, what is it, the little thing where the kids open it up every day?
Calendar, what is it called?
The Lent.
Let's just do one of those, too, with darts
Advent.
In that.
Advent calendar.
An Advent dart calendar. Just every day you get a new flavor.
There should be Advent calendars for adults, like an adult-themed Advent calendar.
Why don't we make an Overdrive Advent calendar?
Yes. Every day we have something that we pull out of the Advent calendar.
Pop it open and it's maybe
a different sound bite.
A puzzle from Freddy the Goat.
A different puzzle, a different player that we want to have a story about.
Exactly. We're going to make an Advent or Overdrive Advent calendar.
Perfect.
December 1st leading up to Christmas.
We can get really creative with this.
What do you think?
Okay, as long as it's not stupid garbage and the crap that you guys bring to my attention, like a cigarette-themed Christmas tree.
I thought it was cool.
of course.
Or, a tree built out of, when I was single, tree built out of beer cans or something like that. Like,
but I don't think the kids would like that.
Well, that's right. I'm not suggesting that the kids come over and say it.
You can tuck it away when the kids come over.
Slide it right in the closet.
Just instead of an angel on top, a little Brandy Love on top of the tree.
That's disgusting.
What was the name of the guy, the wrestler that was watching Brandy Love on?
That was Razor Ramon.
Was that what
he was putting up his tree, actually.
Yeah, put up his tree.
You could be the next Razor Ramon, Scott Hall. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our good buddy, Herm Edwards. How you doing, Herm?
I am well. Kind of interesting how this season's starting to unfold, I think. It makes it kind of interesting. I think if you're a team with 4 wins, you're still alive. You're still alive. Got a chance. You got hope.
Is that in both conferences or only the AFC?
No, I would say more so in the AFC probably than the NFC. I think the NFC is kind of working its way. That was a big win by the Packers. Can they continue to win with Hundley? Then all of a sudden, they feel like they've got a chance maybe to steal a wild card berth. And I think that's going to boil down to 2 of the teams in the South. Obviously, Carolina plays tonight. And all of a sudden, the surprising Saints are playing well. 7-2, and Atlanta looked like the Atlanta of old. The West, you have the Rams. No one wants to give the Rams credit, but they're 7-2. Seattle 6-3, obviously. So it's going to be fun in the NFC who gets those 2 wild card spots.
Have you ever been on the sidelines, Herm, and been hit with a football on the head or crushed by somebody? Because there was an incident yesterday where the guy wasn't paying attention and he just took it right off the nose and it didn't look pretty. You ever experienced anything like that?
Well, the worst thing you experience in the preseason, for some reason, when I was coaching, everything's on these headsets now, but in the preseason, they wanted to make sure that if the headsets went down, you still have access to the cords, the cordless where the guy holds your cord. And that all sounds good until there's some conflict and you're running from one side of the sideline to the opposite. And it's amazing how people step on your cords, and before you know it, you're running in this full sprint, and all of a sudden someone steps on the cord, and it's like, uh-oh. I've had that happen a couple times.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend, man. Osweiler just nailing that guy off the head. You had streakers all over the league. You had just fans that are melting down because their teams are playing so poorly. The Buffalo fan base, they don't know how to handle this now, Herm, and we talk about them day in, day out up here in Toronto. They're 5-2, and people are excited, and then they get smoked at the Jets. They've got 10 days to prepare for New Orleans at home, and the Saints hang 47 points on them, and Breeze didn't even throw for a touchdown. How could you possibly be optimistic if you're a Bills fan right now?
No, you're right when you mention that and the fact that, you say, well, Drew Breeze beat us, and you can live with that. But it wasn't Drew Brees. It was 290-plus yards rushing. That's not a good sign, especially when they come in your backyard and do that. That's kind of one of those, wait a minute now, what did we just see here? So I think with that being said, they got to regroup, obviously, and they'll have a chance. This is an offense we know that it's never good playing from behind. That's not who they are. And I think the Jets exposed them a little bit. When they got behind against New York and New York took the running game away from them, they had to throw it. That's not their strong suit.
Speaking of New York, no one cares about the Jets right now because the Giants just went into San Francisco and got beaten up by a team that had not won a game all year. And the calls in New York are for the firing of the head coach and people want blood in New York. You know the way that market works, but I mean, does it make sense? I mean, it's a lost season already. What is a new coach going to do down the stretch? Would you make that move?
No, I think if you're the organization, and the only time that was done, and I don't want to mention it, I was involved in it. That was the fumble play.
Right.
So, you know, that's not how they operate. I just think that, obviously, you let this thing play out, and you see if they have some sense of life going here, finishing the season. But you make a great point. I mean, you saw two teams yesterday, one team with no wins, one team with one. And the team with no wins is still trying to, they're trying to build a program. And the other team seemed like after they got behind, they were just wanting the game to get over, maybe the season as well.
So glad you brought up that fumble, because I'm sure you're aware of that radio rant in New York a few weeks ago from Don LaGreca, where he finished the rant with this comment.
The Joe Pisarcik theorem, you're dead.
So Joe Pisarcik was played a primary role in that fumble that you picked up and took to the house. I mean, is that the most memorable moment of your career? I mean, that's a fumble six that you took the other way.
Well, I mean, that's a play. You know, that's one play. But and, there's so many memories when you go back and look at your career over 10 years. And I played in Philadelphia most of my time. I mean, I finished with, 38 interceptions, 33 in the regular season, 5 in playoff competition. Obviously, losing a Super Bowl is never good. We lost Super Bowl 15 to the Raiders. But there's been a lot of memorable moments. That was just a play that was really one of those situations where you always tell players, say, you know, it's never done until it's done. Just finish it. You know, it's never over. And it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't over.
They still have not forgotten in New York. Poor Joe Pisarcik.
Yeah,
man.
It's kind of funny because when you play the Giants, you know, when I was the head coach of the Jets and played them in the preseason, when you're the Jets head coach, you know, near the home team for that game, for some reason they show that fumble to the Giants.
As they should.
That's not good.
With Herm Edwards from ESPN, longtime NFL player and head coach here on Overdrive. The Cowboys, they got beat up yesterday by Atlanta, and there was so much focus on Elliott serving the 6-game suspension. But I think we walked out of it realizing that Tyron Smith might be the best left tackle in the league or real close to it. And if Sean Lee's injured, they can't replace Lee. They can't replace Smith. I mean, how much trouble could the Cowboys be in here?
That's an issue. And then you brought up the point. I mean, they gave up, say, 8 sacks yesterday. And the one kid, Claiborne, is going to go to the Hall of Fame after one game.
No kidding.
Of a sudden, he lit up, you know, 6 sacks. I mean, and, you know, it's a shame. And a couple times, the young guy that was playing left tackle, obviously, didn't understand the importance of the user's help when they gave him some help. And at other times, they just obviously just left him out there. So that's an issue. And you make the call on Sean Lee. I mean, he is the quarterback of that defense. And that's the, you know, and he's a great player, but you know that he's going to miss time. He just misses time for some reason because of the way he plays. So that's an issue. And then all of a sudden, their home run threat is not available. And that's Zeke. You know, he's a guy, when you look at this offense, they average about 65 plays a game. He touches the ball 28 times in a football game. So you don't have that guy in your arsenal anymore. That hurts you as well.
It was a wild week. We always appreciate you breaking it down for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Herm.
Thank you, man.
Here's Herm Edwards. Joe Pisarcik's worst nightmare.
Such a coach thing to say. Thank you, men.
Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0%, plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to MapleToyota.com.
He was, we sometimes forget, he was sitting there listening to us talk about a Christmas tree with cigarette butts in it.
And a Brandy Love
and
reference.
Brandy Love, like.
That's you, though. You got to control that. You know.
That's us, though. We know he was coming
on. Well, he doesn't come in our ear and say the guest is on the line. He tells you that.
Okay.
And you still talk about that garbage. You made Herm Edwards.
He was a little bit uncomfortable out of the gate. He quickly.
He was like, what am I doing on this show?
He quickly was like, that was.
If you're a 4-win team, you got to feel okay about yourself.
He quickly took it right to football. He wanted nothing to do with Christmas trees.
Well, I mean, if he didn't react that way, I was going to ask him about like an adult advent calendar.
He would have gave you the Brian Burke. Have you ever been to David Copperfield? Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Burke hates the Toronto media, because of me asking him about David Copperfield.
That was actually one of the best responses ever.
Have you ever seen David Copperfield? Copperfield in action in Vegas?
No.
Okay. Like, it was such an unnecessary answer.
Yeah,
it was so unnecessary, but at the same time, I guess what was I trying to accomplish there? I'm not sure.
Either way, Herm was a good sport.
Yes, he was. We love catching up with Herm. Well, and listen, we love interviewing Brian Burke, too.
Yeah.
He's one of the great interviews out there. He always gives you something to talk about.
I agree.
But I think he knows what he's doing. Like, when he went on with Landsberg this morning, he had that in his arsenal. Like, yes. He loves talking about the Toronto media, and there's a Trump element to it, like the fake news, like they're out to get you. Don't believe in what they're doing because there's some alternative motive here.
80% of them want the team to lose.
Yeah, like a large majority of them want them to fail. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I don't get the impression like that's true. I've said this many times. We've had this conversation many times. When they're a tire fire, our jobs are easier.
Right.
Because the material is so...
It's just laid out there.
It's so laid out there. It's so simple. But as I've often said many times, the more they win, it's better for business.
Right.
There's an element that's true to the comment. It's like, I don't believe that people actually intentional, as much as I don't think that people in the media, they're not fans, they don't really care who wins or loses, but they're so fired up when there's garbage going on because it's just, I don't know. Like you said, is it easier to write or is it easier to...
Well, he had enemies too. I mean, let's be honest. Burke didn't help himself in a lot of ways
right. With
the way the media interacted with him because he would take shots at them almost from day one. Right. So I do think there were people that wanted to see him fail. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that. There were media members that wanted to see him fail.
Because he would have had interactions with them that were probably not positive. So when you don't have a positive interaction with somebody, you're not going to be rooting them to have
success. Well, and that's just human nature. Like, I don't care what journalists say about being objective. You're not objective 100% of the time. You're just not. You're human. You have inclinations. You have different viewpoints.
Right.
You know, it's just the truth. So if you don't like somebody, you're not going to be able to approach that person or cover that person objectively. You're just not.
And it's the same way with players. I think I've told you this.
Absolutely.
I didn't like one guy, a scribe for, I think it was Newsday, New York Newsday, who always found something negative to say about me. I don't think he liked me, but I remember beating Hartford 2-1, and the guy still had a negative. I've got star of the game, and the guy still had a negative comment about me. And then I was in an elevator with him like 2 days later, and the guy is gutless. Like, I asked him about it. He backed off and shriveled. Like, that's the thing. So to this day, I remember who the guy is. I don't want that guy to have success.
I could see that being the case, of course.
To me, personally.
And listen, from Burke's standpoint, he has a very different viewpoint of the city and the media because of his experiences.
Right.
He has a firsthand experience of being a target of the media's. Very few people have that. Very few. You know, Lou does now, I guess Shanahan does now, John Ferguson Jr., a couple of coaches, and Carlisle and Wilson. And
I can't believe there's no audio of JFJ saying, I can't confirm or deny. Did you find anything?
We need to go way back into the archives. Yeah, like, it's somewhere here in TSN. You know, at a draft or something.
Yeah, for sure, there's something.
Has to.
Guaranteed.
But, you know, I understand where Burke had to deal with what not many people have ever had to deal with. Like, there is an overconsumption. There's a lot of media members. You're always looking for something original and unique. You're trying to get your clicks online. You're trying to get your ratings.
And another thing, too, Brian Burke knew coming in when he goes to go on Toronto media, he's going to be asked about his players. He's going to be asked about Sam Bennett.
Right.
He knew exactly what...
And he was out to protect him. And he did that with Dougie Hamilton in the past. And that's why players, I think, love Brian Burke. And that's what he's always been consistent with. He won't bury you publicly.
No.
So, you know, I'm sure Bennett appreciates that, but I don't see why people in Calgary wouldn't be concerned about Sam Bennett's 1 point coming off the year he had last year. I can't imagine only the Toronto media would be like, wow, that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah, not a chance. They're talking about him.
They have to be.
100%.
Alex Anthopoulos has a new gig, the GM of the Atlanta Braves. Ned Colletti will join us, MLB analyst, former L.A. Dodgers executive, get his take on this move and what it means for Anthopoulos. And we'll get back into Steve Phillips' report about Donaldson and the Jays next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Make sure you PVR the show on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Subscribe on iTunes. You can find every hour of every show on iTunes. And listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, come with the names of all five players, and you can win lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Coyotes on November 20th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who played for a relocated team. Thinking outside the box here, and today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is one of our favorites, Joel Quenneville.
Wow.
Joel Quenneville.
I don't think Joel Quenneville is very happy right now.
They lost to the Devils. They're up 4-1 at home, and they lost 7-5. They're in trouble right now.
Yesterday, and he's been so good. He just had a bad day.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. We'll get back into the Blackhawks and Q and what's happening there. But a couple of big stories in the baseball world pertaining to Toronto. Alex Anthopoulos is a new gig, taking over the Braves operation. And Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst, reporting on SportsCenter last hour that he's hearing Donaldson and the Jays have not even sparked a contract conversation. They haven't even talked numbers, dollars and cents, length. Here's former Dodgers GM and current MLB on TuneIn analyst Ned Colletti. How you doing, Ned?
Doing good, gentlemen. How you been?
We're doing really well. We've been very good. Thank you for doing this. Your take on that report. I mean, Donaldson will be a free agent after this upcoming season. We're early into the offseason, but Steve Phillips reporting that the two sides not even talking contract at this point. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I think that every contract negotiation takes its own pace. You know, not knowing what the place everybody's in, the mindset everybody's in, that usually doesn't mean anything. Let's face it, most times it takes either two very willing parties that can agree on most everything, or it takes a deadline. And right now there's no deadline. A deadline there is, but it's way far away. Right. So unless you're going to have really a meeting of the minds where it's going to be an easy deal, where everybody agrees this is the number, this is the term, this is what happens, unless that's how it goes, it takes time. And typically it takes a deadline and it takes somebody moving off a position that they're on.
I'm a believer that the Jays have two options here. They either sign them long-term or they trade them this winter. But the third option is one that I guess they're entertaining, the idea of bringing them back with 1 year left and then risking him walking for nothing. If they decide to go with that direction and bring him back without a long-term contract, how smart for business do you think that would be?
You know, baseball is so, it moves so fast. And every year is a season unto itself. If they think that they've got a legit chance to win and they need Donaldson to win, then you go for it. You do go for it, because at some point in time, you know, winning is really what people are after. I mean, it's nice to have entertainment. It's nice to have a team that's successful and things like that. But if you think you've got a chance to win, you can, you know, you wait. You wait it out. If you can't reach an agreement, you play with the guys you got. And if they think that they have a chance to win, I'd keep them. I wouldn't be moved to move somebody off a good team that's got a chance to win right here, right now. For prospects that are going to take another year, two, 3 years, and maybe be good, maybe not. I mean, you never know what it's going to end up, except for very, very few that you can really kind of pinpoint that they're going to be outstanding. But you're talking about a really good player. You're talking about a guy that is a difference maker, especially when healthy. And I think it's tough to move a guy like that. You also got till July 31st, really, to do something. And you can see how your season goes for 4 months and see what else happens. And maybe you're out by 10. Maybe you're out by 15. Maybe it's a repeat of last year where you never really get on track. And then you'll still find a lot of takers. So people are always in a hurry. I think you gotta use your time wisely, and you gotta figure out what's best. And really, you start with where's your team at right here, right now, and how much you think you can do next year with them.
Well, where do you think the Jays are? Do you think that with some of the pieces they have, they can add to it this offseason, and they can go all in to win next year?
Well, again, you know, it's easier for me to say that if I was in the room or if I was Mark. But you know, from a distance, you know, I was surprised at their start last year. I was surprised that they did what they did. I think they have a chance to be a very good club. But again, you know, it's one thing to say it from Los Angeles, another thing to say it from down the street from the stadium. So, I think that it's certainly worth, at least from a distance, it's certainly worth a chance to see how good they can be. They know where they're at, and they know where their shortcomings are. The people who live it every day that are saturated in it, they've got a far clearer view than I do. But I think that my initial impression about where they were last year was I was surprised they got off to the start they did and really couldn't recover. They got some good young pitching. They've got a team that is exciting. But they also, you know, they're also in a tough division too. When Baltimore finishes in last place, I think, you know, that's a pretty tough division.
Well, and that was the last day of the season when the Jays finally passed them, so they were almost last place. We're chatting with former Dodgers GM, current MLB on TuneIn analyst Ned Colletti. Alex Anthopoulos has a new gig down in Atlanta. There's been some turmoil surrounding that team, though, with ownership and with the former president of baseball operations. What kind of situation do you think Anthopoulos is walking into here?
Well, I think he's walking into a real good one. Knowing Alex, both as a one of the brothers, let's say, of my former life as a GM, and then working, seeing him at Dodger Stadium a lot the last couple of years, he's very sharp, and he's not going to go into any situation that he doesn't think is going to have a chance to be tremendous. He's very diligent. He's also he's wise with his choice making, and I think that he knows where it's at. And there's a chance that you know, that he knows maybe what's coming down the pike from MLB and the severity of it related to what went on this past year or so. So I think that it's a wise choice for Atlanta. I think it's also Alex is smart enough to know that it's going to be something very, very special for him and his family.
Yeah, I think he played his cards perfectly. I mean, I think he was confident enough in his resume out of Toronto that eventually another job would pop up. I mean, he had been telling people, anyone that was asking him, you know, how comfortable are you with being basically the number three or four guy in L.A.? And he kept telling people he loved it in Southern California. He was comfortable with the gig. They were compensating him well. But I never believed that. I mean, once you get the taste of being the man and running an operation, you're itching to get back in the big chair. I mean, I always felt like this was inevitable, Ned, that eventually he'd stop being the number three or four guy and wait for the right time to be the number one guy again.
Well, hey, thanks for the reference to the big chair. Very
right.
Smooth. Very
absolutely. Smooth. Absolutely.
You know what? I think and the job is such a demand and such a drain, and there are so many great parts to it. But in talking to him, and even talking to Alex at the end of his Toronto days, you know, it seemed like he needed to take a breath. And I think when you do get away from it for a little while and you are allowed to take a breath, I think it makes you smarter. I think you have a chance to step back from it and kind of regroup. You see your successes. You see the things that didn't work quite as well. And I think you kind of refresh yourself. I think that's where he's at. I can remember talking to him a lot his last season there. Talked to him in early July before Tulowitzki, before Price. Talked to him throughout that season, throughout the early parts of the off season too. And it just seemed to me that, you know, he seemed ready to take a breath. And he's young enough and smart enough and respected enough that he was going to get another opportunity, and it just a matter of where it was and what it was going to be able to entail and how good a fit it was going to be for his wife and kids. And I think that he played it well, and I enjoy him. I mean, he and I spent more time on the phone talking when we were both GMs in the most recent places that we were both GMs until today. We spent more time just talking about, you name it, than we did talking about player trades. And it was, I mean, I had a great time talking to him. And I saw him a couple of days ago. I saw him before Game 7, I think. And, you know, we had another good conversation. We talked about the one deal we did made make between LA and Toronto when we were both in those seats. And you know, I'm happy for him. He's a good man. He's a fun guy. He's got a great sense of humor. And he's also somebody that when you trace back his roots and how he began in the Expos clubhouse doing the mail and then starting to scout on his own, you know what? I love that. I love how he's a self-made guy, smart guy that really was going to be driven to great successes. I teach at Pepperdine University. I brought a class down to spring training last year, and I had Alex come in and talk to him. And he was phenomenal about how he started, what he did, what he went through. You know, some doubts that he may have had along the way if he was ever going to amount to anything in the upper reaches of the baseball hierarchy. But he stayed with it, and he started opening mail in Olympic Stadium. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Great stuff, Nat, as always. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. All the best. How are the Leafs doing? Leafs okay?
Oh, yeah,
they're
man.
Good.
12 and 7.
Yeah, they're exciting. I watch it every night.
Yep, they'll be good to go. We'll see you guys in the playoffs. I think the Kings are going back, if that's your team.
I got a bunch of teams. It depends on what executive I know that's watching it.
I see. Okay. Well, jump on the Leaf bandwagon. They should be
I
good
do.
For
I like
years.
Reed Mitchell and Lou Lamoriello and... Yep. A lot of those guys over there, good people.
All right, thank you, Ned. Appreciate
all right,
it. There's Ned Colletti, former Dodgers GM. Big fan of the Leafs.
There you go.
And Lou Lamoriello. Anthopoulos back in the big chair down in Atlanta. And, you know, the report came out today that the former president of baseball ops was a guy by the name of John Hart down there. And Anthopoulos is going to step in and take over the operation. And John Hart is expected to stick around in a lesser role. In other words, Anthopoulos is going to play the role of Shapiro, right. And Hart is now the new Anthopoulos. And that's the cycle of the sports life. I mean, mm-hmm. What comes around goes around. And I'm assuming people in Atlanta probably aren't going to complain about some Canadian guy taking an American's job.
No.
The way we up here complain about an American taking a Canadian's job because we just can't help ourselves.
Listen, if they did a great job up here and the jury's still out, they have to do a better job, then it doesn't matter if they're American or... whatever.
Who cares?
If Shapiro delivers playoffs and deeper, doesn't matter where he's born.
Put the right
to
team
me,
forward.
Anyway.
Nobody cares.
Exactly.
Nobody cares. So make sure you win.
Exactly.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Hall of Fame night as well. With our man James Duffy on TSN 2.
Maybe toss around some ideas for next year, who's eligible.
All right. We'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine Monday Nighter, Carolina, Miami. Under the number, 42.5 rushing yards for Jonathan Stewart. Over the number, 4.5 total receptions for Funches tonight. And under the number, first half points, 19.5. Throw down 20, you can score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Did you just say Funches?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Funches?
He's a wideout for Carolina. He's Cam Newton's go-to target.
Funches.
Yeah.
It's a weird name to say, man.
He was the guy who came up for the big Cam Newton fiasco with the female reporter and routes he was running. I believe that was him. Hall of Fame night tonight, TSN 2. Duffy will be on fire. Doing
Duffy night.
It is Duffy James night. Duffy night.
Next year, there's, I think, a couple of locks. Marty Brodeur is a lock, clearly. Mm-hmm. He's on the ballot for the first time. Daniel Alfredson.
Does Daniel Alfredson go ahead of a guy like Jeremy Roenick and Keith Kachuk? Like,
I don't think those guys are getting in.
But here's the thing.
Why? They got 500-plus goals.
They've been on the ballot for a long time.
Plus, you have to look at international resume, too. That's what I think we're missing on that.
But Andrzejczyk doesn't have any international resume.
But look at the darts he's been receiving lately. Larry Brooks wrote about it. I even think Steve Simmons wrote about
Simmons
it.
Yeah, Simmons wrote that neither him or Recce, you know, scream
Hall of Fame.
They're very, very good, but not Hall of Fame.
But that's, you know, in years where there may not be four slam dunks, that's where you start to dig into the pool a little bit.
Well, maybe that's the case down the road for a guy like Roenick.
It took Mark Howe how many years to get in?
Yeah, like 15 years.
That's why I'm telling you, mark my words, Chris Osgood will get better and better as time goes on when you look at his stats.
That's what I can't figure out. Alfie's got 444 goals, 1,100 points, but like Roenick and Tkachuk both have 500-plus.
Is he a point-of-game guy? Is he? What's his international resume? Does he have a gold medal?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, exactly. So like, this is...
I think he's probably getting in. Maybe he's got to wait a year. Maybe he's got to wait a year, but I think Alfredson will get in.
So a guy that scored 40 goals once in his career is a slam dunk Hall of Famer?
I think consistency.
Yeah, so. I think he's going to get in. I do.
I think he'll get in. How many, 40 once.
I hear you, man. I think he'll get in, though.
How many games did he do that in?
1,246.
He was close to a point a game. Close.
Marty St. Louis?
He's a Hall of Famer for me.
I think he is too, but I think he's a cusp guy. That's, you know.
He did win a heart.
Yes.
Won a heart.
Won a Stanley Cup.
He's won a gold medal. One at least.
Yeah, he was there in 2014. And remember, that was a big point of contention.
Is he eligible next year?
Yeah, I believe next year he's eligible.
I don't know if he goes in right away.
I think, yeah, him and Alfredson will be a real debate. I think one of them will get in right away. It'll be obviously the 18.
I just want to be a fly on the wall in those rooms.
Me too.
And I want access. Criteria.
Well, I would love access too. I'd love to know how many votes, who voted for what, but they don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't operate that way.
Well, there's always guys that have come out of the blue that you forget about.
Well, that's the truth. Like, I think Alex McGillney is up, and maybe he's been up for a while anyway, but
he's a very good player.
Really good player.
But that's the big debate. Is the Hall of Fame for really great player or really good players, as you guys just said?
Special. To me, they had to be special. But in
it's not the Hall of really good.
But that was the argument Simmons was making yesterday.
They're not wrong. But when I think of Mark Recchi and I think of Dave Andrechuk as a former goalie, like, they were dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous players.
Yeah.
Like,
for Andrechuk, if you think it doesn't scream Hall, like, just you got to look at the stats.
Yeah. Well, he had over 600 goals.
Yeah, they're outrageous.
Yeah, no, he had 50 multiple times.
That one is.
I think he had 50 in a year with two different. Like, he was with Buffalo and then finished off the 50 with Toronto.
That may have been the case. I know he had 50 in Toronto for sure. Like, I think he maybe did that back to back years. Yeah. Like 50 the year of the trade and then 50 the next year. So anyway, they're going in now. You can't take it away from them.
No.
So that should be fun to see how all the speeches go down tonight. We are out of here.
We're back tomorrow at 4:00.
We'll chat then.